Good morning. You're listening to Real Life on the Radio with AARP, and I'm your host, Deborah Tyler Horton. This morning, I have in the studio with me Ms. Mary B. McMillan. Mary B. McMillan is Secretary Treasurer of the North Carolina State AFL-CIO. With her election to this position in 2005, she became the first female officer in the history of the organization. Prior to working for the North Carolina State AFL-CIO, she worked for the National AFL-CIO's Union Community Fund as Research Director for the Common Sense Foundation, a think tank that focused on North Carolina policy issues, and a state policy analyst for the Rural School of Community Trust, an organization dedicated to improving rural public education. Mary B. grew up in Hickory, North Carolina. She became involved with union organizing as a student and continues to be passionate about organizing the South. Mary B. is a member of the International Union of Operating Engineers, IUOE, Local 465 in Durham, North Carolina. Mary B., good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Deborah. I'm fine, and thank you for having me on the show.
I'm so glad to have you here. I want to tell our listeners a little bit about the North Carolina State AFL-CIO. It is the largest association of local unions and union councils in North Carolina, representing over 100,000 union members fighting for good jobs, safe workplaces, workers' rights, consumer protections, and quality public service on behalf of all working families. Well, Mary B., I'm excited to have you in the studio. I hope our listeners have some pen and pad ready to take notes.
I'm excited to be here,
because I know we're going to provide some information that they will need to record. So, but Mary B., let's start with maybe giving some more understanding of the AFL-CIO and how it works in North Carolina and who it impacts for our listeners.
The North Carolina AFL-CIO is the federation of labor unions in the state. We represent union members and public and private sector occupations, all kinds of different occupations and industries all around the state. So we have auto workers, plumbers, construction workers, nurses, postal clerks, professional athletes, symphony musicians, just to name a few. And we advocate on behalf of working families, not just union members. So we lobby our legislature and our congressional delegation to pass policies that will help working families. We also understand that in order to have worker-friendly laws, you need worker-friendly candidates in public office. So during the election cycles, we will screen and endorse candidates for state, local, and federal positions. So we do whatever we can to try and make the state and this country a fairer, better place for working folks.
Yes, and a phenomenal job that you all do. I just want to say that right up front.
Well, I appreciate that.
So, Mary B., the North Carolina General Assembly adjourned on July 27th after a 104-day legislative session that included over 1,751 bills being filed by lawmakers. A total of 338 bills were passed and forwarded to Governor Pat McCrory to sign under his first year in office. First several months, actually, right? Talk to us a little bit about what happened and how the effects of this session, this long session, and it was a long session.
It was.
affected the work that the AFL-CIO has been doing here in North Carolina.
Well, I can definitely say that this was not a good legislative session for working folks. You know, during the last session, I summed it up by saying that the wealthy and corporations got a handout while working folks couldn't even get a hand up. And I think that I would say of this session that, again, the wealthy and corporations got a handout And not only did working folks not get a hand up, but they actually got kicked while they were down. Mm. And I think that's really the case with the cuts to unemployment benefits. When this session started, our legislature made it their first order of business to pass the most drastic cuts to unemployment benefits of any state in the nation, even though at that time we had the fifth highest unemployment rate in the country. Mm-hmm. So they passed legislation that would cut the maximum amount of benefits that workers could receive, that cut the number of weeks that workers could receive benefits. And that was the wrong thing to do. It was wrong for workers. It was wrong for our economy. But I would say that what our legislature did went beyond wrong and was actually, in my mind, deliberately cruel, because they made those changes knowing that it would cause up to 170,000 of the long-term jobless to lose access to federal extended unemployment benefits. These are benefits that doesn't even cost our state a dime. Mm. Basically, free money, $780 million that could have gone into workers' pockets that then could have been spent in our economy. And many of us who advocate on behalf of working folks tried our best to convince this legislature to delay these changes that would have saved the federal benefits. But time and time again, they refused to help the long-term jobless. And now, just this week, it was announced that we now have the third highest unemployment rate in the country. So we have more folks out of work, and those people are having to make do on reduced unemployment benefits.
So, Mary B., where are these folks going? If they don't have unemployment benefits, can't find a job, what has happened to the working poor in North Carolina?
I think that charitable organizations and social service agencies are seeing an increased workload as people are going to food banks. Certainly more of these folks are going to go to public assistance, food stamps, and other services. You know, I worry about what's going to happen. You know, I'm afraid that a lot of these people will drop out of the system and they'll be forgotten. And the other thing that concerns me is, you know, with this recession, we've lost so many jobs, and many of the new jobs that we see created are low-wage service sector jobs that don't pay a living wage. So I'm concerned not just about the number of folks that are unemployed, but also the growing number of people who are underemployed and who are having to work two or three jobs just to try and make ends meet.
Were the dollars reallocated that did not go to unemployment insurance? Were those dollars reallocated someplace else?
Well,
I don't know if you know, but
the federal money just didn't come here.
It just didn't come. They didn't take it.
No, and you know, that could have been a tremendous economic boost. Working folks are also consumers. That's money that people would have used to pay their rent, to buy groceries, to buy gas. It doesn't make sense. If we want to grow our economy, then we have to grow workers' buying power.
Absolutely. Talk a little bit about the Medicaid expansion and what happened with that, those dollars not coming to North Carolina.
That's another situation where our state unfortunately chose to turn down federal dollars that would have allowed them to expand Medicaid to 500,000 North Carolinians. That money could have gone into the economy. It could have created, you know, I don't remember the exact number, but thousands of health care jobs. But yet again, they turned down the money. They refused to help low-income North Carolinians and seniors who could definitely have used this, the Medicaid expansion, and taken advantage of that program to get quality health care. And again, you see our unemployment rate increasing.
Yes.
There hasn't been any economic growth.
Mary, I also want to have you talk about worker struggles, including the immigrant workers as low-wage workers. Talk about what's happening in that area.
We have a large number of farm workers here in North Carolina because we're a large agricultural producer. And these are workers who come here from Mexico and other countries because they want to build a better life for their families back in their home countries. And when you hear the conditions and the low wages they are paid, it really makes you wonder. It must really be bad back in their home countries for them to make such sacrifice to leave their loved ones and to come here to toil in the hot, pesticide-laden fields of eastern North Carolina to earn $50 after picking 2 tons of sweet potatoes. It's the conditions in which they're housed are appalling. We tried for years and years. It took years of work just to mandate that there would be mattresses on the floor for farm workers. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are human beings. So there's so much more that we could do to ensure that those workers have good working conditions out in the field, that they're safe, and that they're paid a decent wage. And part of the issue is our broken immigration system. When workers live in fear of deportation, they're easily exploited. Mm-hmm. And when one group of workers is exploited and paid low wages, it hurts all workers. It drives down wages for all of us.
Absolutely.
And that's why the AFL-CIO nationally and here in the state are big supporters of comprehensive immigration reform, and it's why we have been lobbying our U.S. senators and our congressional representatives to support comprehensive immigration reform with a clear path to citizenship for these workers.
Mary B., talk a little bit about where do we kind of go from here. I mean, we know where the session left us, but there's a lot of work, I'm sure, that the AFL-CIO sees ahead. Can you talk a little bit about the direction and your next steps in this movement?
I would say right now we're trying to educate union members and North Carolinians about what happened in this legislature to make sure that they understand that the legislature did not pass laws that would help the average North Carolinian. I think it's important that people are informed and they find out exactly how their own representatives voted on these important issues.
Yeah.
We're part of the NAACP's Moral Monday Forward Together movement. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, amidst all this doom and gloom, you know, with workers struggling and the laws we've seen passed, that there's some real hope. Because more and more people are coming together, you know, seniors and students, black, white, and brown, you know, professionals and laborers all coming together saying, this is not the North Carolina that we fought for. This is not how we want our state to go in the future. Mm-hmm. And that's very encouraging. And what we saw with Moral Mondays and what we're continuing to see around the state are people who are, they're angry, they're frustrated, but they're energized.
Right.
They feel empowered. They understand that the people have power if they make their voices heard and eventually if we make our votes count. And so I'm very encouraged. And as we, you know, come into this weekend with the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, we're going to see Wednesday the 28th in 13 cities around the state, the 13 congressional districts.
And that's a major organizing to have that,
that
happen all on one day.
Simultaneously, all at the same time at 5:30 in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Moral Monday movement continued, and you will see all around North Carolina folks, again, marching for jobs and freedom, both of which are in short supply in this state.
Yes.
And you will see people saying, we are committed to organizing and mobilizing from the mountains to the sea, and we will register voters, we will turn out the vote, we will educate our citizens, and we will move this state forward.
Absolutely. Mayor Beach, so there's truly a growing movement for social justice here in North Carolina. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done, but as we can see, there are hundreds of organizations that have been coming together, community leaders, clergy, businesses, on the every Monday throughout the long session. They were on
thousands of people.
And over 1,000 people got arrested during this time to have their voice heard. So we know that there is movement. Now, as we look forward to 2014 and we look to the it'll be a short session in 2014,
right?
Are there some key things you might want our listeners to be aware of, some specific things that you will need support from the community?
Well, the short session year is another budget cycle, and that's certainly something that all North Carolinians should care about because the budget funds our public school system and other critical services. And what we saw this session was, you know, because there's still concern about how much money we have to spend, we saw cuts to public education and other critical services, while corporations got even greater tax breaks. So it is important as we go into 2014 and the short session that people need to contact their representatives and let them know that they think funding our public schools is a high priority, to let them know that it's not fair to increase taxes on working folks like they did in this past session. People need to know the issues. They need to let their representatives know how they feel. Both before the vote and after the vote, we need to hold our elected officials accountable. And we need to talk to other folks. We need to talk to our neighbors and our friends and let them know what's happening. And certainly next year is a big election year. And so, you know, registering people to vote, making sure that people get out there and participate and do their civic duty will be very important.
Well, a couple of things, too, and I'd like to make sure that I want to say to our listeners, this is a great opportunity to connect with your representative while they're home.
That's right.
While the session is out, knock on the door, visit them while they're here before they come back to Jones Street.
And I think that you will continue to see lots of activities in the legislative districts. You know, these 13 rallies around the state, the moving Moral Mondays, that's just the beginning. There will continue to be activities to hold these legislators accountable, to continue to raise public awareness about these issues. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going anywhere. And you're absolutely right that now, while they're out of session, is the time to connect with your legislator in their home districts.
Mary Beard, I do want to go back to your statement about getting folks out to vote. Talk about a little bit about the changes on voter ID so that people can prepare for voting as well.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, another horrible thing that we saw with this legislature was the worst voter suppression bill in the nation. Hillary Clinton said it was the greatest hits of voter suppression. There's just so many things in this bill. I mean, not just the requirement now to have the photo ID, but shortening the early voting period, you know, making it so that if you go to the wrong precinct, you can't cast a provisional ballot. All these restrictions on voting, while at the same time it made it easier for corporations and the very wealthy to buy elections. There's lawsuits that are challenging this, but mm-hmm. it's important that we go ahead and educate people about this law, that we make sure that people go ahead and start getting IDs. The fact that it really seems to be targeting students was just so unfortunate, to do away with high school voter registration drives and the pre-registration of 16 and 17-year-olds, and then to say your college ID doesn't count. It's horrible. I mean, we teach civics to our students, but then we don't want them to actually engage in civic participation. So I think that we need to make sure that young folks know what's going on. We need to educate our communities, and then do what we can if this law, you know, stands, to make sure that people are eligible and they go out there and vote and they're not intimidated. And it may be a little more inconvenient, mm-hmm. but to let folks know what's at stake.
I appreciate you saying that and bringing that up, because it's so important that people plan now. We don't want to wait until election time to start scrambling to get these IDs. We want to work with the community, educate them, inform, to let them know the things that they need to know in advance. This is the time to start working on putting those things in place.
Right. And Democracy NC is a wonderful organization, and they have great information about exactly what's in this law. And I think that they and other organizations are going to be doing everything they can to figure out how to help people get the IDs and to meet the new requirements.
Yes. And all the great work that the AFL-CIO is doing, do you have a website you can share with our listeners, phone numbers, or how can people support the work that you're doing? Can they volunteer with you? Let us know how we can help.
Take volunteers. We wouldn't turn away volunteers, but certainly visit our website. It's aflcionc.org. Our phone number here in Raleigh, it's 919-833-6678. If people visit our website, you'll see the link to our Twitter account and Facebook. There's also a button that says subscribe, and if you enter in your email address, you'll start getting email newsletters from us. So you'll know what's going on with the labor movement and know about issues that are affecting working families in North Carolina.
And can you just give us the web link again and the number?
It's aflcionc.org. So there's no hyphens in that. It's all together.
Okay.
And then the number is 919-833-6678.
Thank you so much. Mary B., it's been a pleasure to have you in the studio. I hope that you'll come back and join us again.
Definitely, Deborah. Thank you so much for having me.
We look forward to the support, and we truly appreciate all that the AFL-CIO does here in North Carolina and across the country.
Thank you.
Thank you. For our listeners, mark your calendar for upcoming events. Saturday, September 21st at Poplar Springs Christian Church on Old Stage Road, a day of sharing and celebrating our caregivers. Do you help a loved one who is sick or has a disability? Then you are a caregiver. Are you responsible for the health and well-being of an ill or elderly loved one? Then you are a caregiver. If you answered yes to these questions, then Saturday, September 21st, is for you and your family. We will have resource agencies on site to answer questions, free health screenings, good food, and music. The event is free and open to the community. To register, call 919-508-0294. That number is 919-508-0294. You've been listening to AARP's Real Life on the Radio, a leader in positive social change and committed to providing valuable, credible information and resources that can help aid you in living the best life possible. If you have questions or feedback on our show, you can contact me, Deborah Tyler Horton, at 919-508-0295. Remember to visit AARP's website for information on all of our programs and services at www.aarp.org/NC. This is Deborah Tyler Horton. Until next time, remember, the life you lead is the legacy you leave. Stand up for yourself.
You say that you don't matter. What difference does it make? No one listens to you, so there's nothing here to stay. You choose to stay contented, to give your voice away, to let another speak for you. Don't you have nothing to say? Declare yourself. Yourself. You stick it on your car window and you hang it from your roof. It's time to come together. Our future's not for sale. Just make the choice to stand as one. Because if all that we fail, play yourself. Decline your independence. Give yourself. Right to make a difference.
I've been an AARP member for over 12 years, and the thing I like about it most is that my wife and I can eat at our favorite restaurants more often. We love exotic foods. Just last week, we tried
getting my heart rate up because I learned so much about healthy living, staying active with tips like walking more, even when I
barbecue. And not just any barbecue. I'm talking the entire neighborhood in my backyard. My card means I can stock up on groceries. So it's a whole afternoon of
traveling the country. I swear my husband and I spend more time away from home than we do at home. I think our favorite place to visit is
AARP.org. It's all new and I love it. I can find everything I need, including ways to get involved in my community. I really like
knowing someone is in my corner. AARP knows what's important to me and my family, and they fight for it.
Whatever you're passionate about, AARP can help you get so much more out of life. Go to the new AARP.org and discover the best of what's next.